I'm sure most of you have done it at some time. You've done it at some time. You've answered the phone, and when the person on the other end has spoken your name, you think you know who it is, and you ask, "Oh, is that you, Billy?" Only to discover that, well, it's not that person at all. And you maybe almost feel embarrassed about the whole situation. And some people, of course, have very distinctive voices, and the truth is that as soon as they speak, their voice is recognized. And so that seldom happens. But for others, it can be somewhat a common occurrence. And so this morning, I simply want to ask a very simple question, but a very important question. And the question is this: have you heard the voice of God? In Psalm 29, verses 3 and 4, we read, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." An old Spanish lady once thanked God for the prospect of 1 month in solitary confinement, which was part of her 5-year prison sentence. Reason she was sentenced? For not being able to stop speaking about Jesus. And as the thought of her month's solitary confinement dawned on her, she gladly exclaimed, "Now I can be alone with the Lord Jesus." You may think, why would you want to have a month's solitary confinement? She was seeing it as a blessing to be alone with Jesus. And perhaps some of us could be guilty of not being able to stop speaking, but sadly, we're perhaps rarely speaking about Jesus. Christ's beloved disciple John must have experienced similar emotion as that old Spanish lady. He was the youngest of the disciples, but now as an old man, he was penning the book of Revelation that we have before us. And he had outlived the other disciples, and he was spending his final days in prison on the small island of Patmos, which is located between Greece and Turkey, and you'll see it there on the map, marked with a red star. John was alone in his cell, but he was not downcast, because it was in that very place that God revealed his insights into what would happen in the future. In John 1 and 15, as we were reading earlier, John likened the voice of God to the sound of rushing waters. And though being on an island, the island of Patmos, John would have been accustomed to the noise of the breakers beating against the rocks. John was familiar with the sound of the sea, of the noise of the water. But here, this old servant of God was also familiar with the voice of God, which to him sounded like many waters. I believe God's voice comes in many forms, and this morning I want us to consider various strands of that voice. And again, I raise the question to you: have you heard the voice of God? Firstly, we discover from the scriptures that the very first time God spoke, that it was in the form of a creative voice. As you read the opening chapter of God's word, maybe you'll read it later on today, Genesis chapter 1, verses 3, 6, 9, 14, 20, 24, 29, that phrase is repeated over and over again, "And God said." And God said. And every time God spoke, something else was created. His mighty and powerful creative voice was heard over and over and over again. Of course, as individuals, at our best, all we can do is to create something new by taking something which is already there and revising it. All labor outside the spiritual realm basically involves moving the world's resources from one place to another or making something different by combining them. But let me remind you that God is also different, because he is the great creator. and he can take nothing and make something brand new out of it. Interesting, we were singing, by faith we see the hand of God, and Margaret had chosen that this morning. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 3 we read, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The Almighty God whom we worship, the one whom we adore, spoke in his creative voice and the world came into being. God literally created everything out of nothing. Since creation, God has also been working figuratively, in that he has taken people within our world that may have appeared to have been insignificant, and he has changed them. He has changed them for his glory. For example, he took a tinker and made him into the great author and preacher, namely John Bunyan. He transformed the life of William Carey, a mere cobbler, into the man who was the founder of English missions. Praise God, there are many in this gathering today who have personally known the transformation of the Holy Spirit in their lives. God has wonderfully taken our insignificant lives and he has changed them into something beautiful and wonderful for his glory. Well, let us never lose sight of the fact that the voice of God is a creative force. And it is that voice that we ought to be praying for, to be at work in the lives within our families and out into this community. It's that voice, that creative voice that can change the alcoholic. It's that voice that can change the drug dealer, the gambler, the prostitute. And it's that voice that can change the vast multitude, even within this little village, who believe that they are all right the way they are. Men and women, I say to you today, we need to pray for that creative voice to be heard within our village. Men and women and young people, they need to be arrested, realizing that there is a great, mighty, all-powerful God. But not only is God's voice a creative voice, but secondly, I would say it's a commanding voice. As the creator of this universe, the Lord has the prerogative to provide instructions, and they are absolute standards for our right behavior. God's blessing on individual lives and nations come as a result of obedience to his command. In Genesis 22, verse 18, we read words that God spoke to Abraham. He said to him, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed me. In Exodus 20, we read of how God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and we know those commandments are relevant for us today, and it is vital that we live by them. And when you carefully consider the commandments, you will note that they reveal God's character and they reveal our character. God is rightly seen to be holy, whereas on the other hand, we're deemed as being sinful. The Ten Commandments, of course, were given on two tablets of stone because they firstly concern our relationship to God, and secondly, they concern our relationship to fellow humans. God's authority and power is absolute, and therefore, he has the right to speak. He has the right to be obeyed. But if that is true, as it surely is, then if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, if you say you know and love the Lord Jesus, if you've truly repented of your sin, then you must stop and ask yourself a very searching question. And the question is this: has God commanded me to do anything? I tell you, I could never be the minister of this congregation if I did not believe with all my heart that God called me to be here and commanded me to be here. I believe God commands his children to do certain things, but yet for whatever reason, they maybe hold back. Maybe that command to you is for you to share the gospel message with those within your family circle, with friends, with neighbors that you've had for a lifetime, but maybe you've never actually spoke of Jesus. Maybe that command for you is to step out of your comfort zone and to invite someone to come with you to this meeting house. Maybe that command for you is to be involved in active service within our congregation. Oh, there's a work for everyone to do. It's not meant to be just for a few people, but if every people, every child of God was to say, well, where is my niche? What can I do? Then indeed, surely that would strengthen our congregation. But here is the bottom line, that whatever the Lord would command you to do, so I would urge you, Christian, to do it now. Do it now. Tomorrow may be too late, and you may well be left with regrets. Let's all be faithful to the commanding voice of God. So having created and commanded, one of the first words God spoke to his creation was the third voice that I want us to consider today. And that is the convicting voice. The convicting voice. Adam and Eve had been placed in the beautiful Garden of Eden. And then Satan came along and intervened. And as always, he spoiled what was beautiful. We know from Genesis 3 that Satan sowed the seeds of doubt. And ultimately that led to disobedience. The devil promised Adam and Eve that they would be like gods, but rather because of their disobedience, they sought to run away from Almighty God. Genesis 3 and verse 9, God spoke with that convicting voice. And God spoke in the garden, "Where are you?" Not a gentle whisper, but that loud, booming voice went out around the garden, "Where are you?" And we read how Adam blamed Eve. Men are good at that, aren't they? They're good at blaming their wives. Eve, of course, in turn, blamed the serpent. But in spite of their excuses, I've no doubt in my mind, they were deeply ashamed. They must have realized the sin in their own lives. Their special relationship and intimacy with God was destroyed, and things would never, ever be the same again. Centuries later, God's convicting voice was heard through his prophets. As he warned, "You have not obeyed the voice of the Lord." But let's bring it forward to today. And let me ask you a very direct question. Have you obeyed the convicting voice of God? Well, maybe you've heard him speak to your heart and soul. Maybe in recent times, as you've listened to God's word, you have felt uncomfortable. And as you've been listening to God's word being preached, you've felt, "Oh, I need to get away from this." Yet the bottom line is you've still not responded to his voice. The Lord Jesus also spoke with a convicting voice in John chapter 3. You'll know that passage well. And there we read of Nicodemus, one who came to Jesus at night. And Jesus spoke straight and clear. In John 3 and 3, we read his convicting words. He said to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And then in verse 7, that convicting call is reiterated. "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Well, I'm glad if you say to me today that you felt convicted of your sin. because that means that the Spirit of God is still striving with you. But yet that is still not enough. And so it brings us to the next voice that I want us to think about, and that is the converting voice. Yes, it's one thing to know conviction, but a totally different thing to know conversion. God delights to demonstrate his power by turning people away from their sinful actions. Whenever you feel unwell, then it's important for you to go to the doctor in order for him or her to diagnose your illness. Without a diagnosis, then you can never be treated, and you, of course, would never be cured. And in a similar way, God convicts people of their sin to ultimately bring them to a place of forgiveness, a new life in himself. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul of Tarsus, a man who had a great hatred for Christians. And one day as he set out to cause more havoc, God arrested him in his tracks. God spoke to him. Acts 9 and verse 4, we read these powerful words. He, that's Saul, fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" See, on the road to Damascus, Saul, the hater of Christians, heard the converting voice of God, and that day, that hour, that moment, his life was transformed. The tormentor Saul became the apostle Paul, who in turn became a great witness for his Lord and Master. Yes, Paul's experience was very dramatic. His experience was unique, as is every conversion. As a young man of 12, I heard that convicting voice of God at a boys' brigade camp on the Isle of Man. Well, I didn't hear a voice from heaven the way that Saul did, but nevertheless, God brought that conviction of sin upon my life, and God wonderfully drew me to himself. Yes, on the 10th of July, 1980, just over 37 years ago, God changed my life, and the Lord has wonderfully led and directed me day by day. As I speak to individuals about their need of salvation, perhaps one of the saddest things is that when people tell me they know that they need to be saved and they believe God has been speaking to them, but for whatever reason, they keep holding back from taking that step and making that commitment to Christ. Does that describe you today? You're holding back. You're holding back from stepping out and following after God. Yes, you know all about him. You know how much he loves you because you know that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. But the stark reality is that as an individual, you've never made Jesus your personal savior. Maybe it's even the case that as others look upon your life, they believe, they think that you're a follower of Jesus. In some ways, you've maybe hoodwinked other people, but you'll never hoodwink God. And so we say to you today, won't you come and follow Jesus today? Right now, as you sit in your pew, you could call upon the Lord. Today, you can be gloriously saved. That's the good news of the gospel. Genesis 6 and verse 3, we read these solemn words. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And if God is striving with you, if God has been speaking to you, if you've known that time of conviction upon your life, then I urge you to respond before it is too late. The voice of God. This morning we've been thinking about that. We've already considered the creative voice, the commanding voice, the convicting voice. However, as I sat in my study preparing this message, God kept bringing to to me time and time again that I needed to speak about the calming voice. The calming voice. I had no idea that I would be standing here today announcing the sudden death of one who was so bright and cheery and full of fun. God brings the calming voice. And perhaps as you have come through the doors of our meeting house today, maybe you've come through those doors with worry and anxiety. Maybe no one else knows the situation in your life or within your family circle. But God knows all about that today, and he draws close to you this morning. In Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus speaks about the matter of worry. In verses 33 and 34, we read these encouraging words, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And the calming voice of God would remind all of us of 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I don't know what anxiety you're maybe carrying today, but here's what I do know. I know that God cares for you. And he calls to you today through this verse, and he says, cast all, not some, not just the big things or the wee things, but cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. That calming voice is saying that he will never leave you, that he will never forsake you. He is the one that you can fully trust and depend upon. So today, if there's turmoil going on in your life, if you're feeling maybe even that you're at wit's end corner, you're feeling, well, how am I going to see a way through? The calming voice of God comes and says, I am with you. Trust in me. Hold on to me. I'll be there for you. During my introduction, I asked, have you heard the voice of God? We have considered how that voice is a creative, a commanding, a convicting, and a calming voice. But in conclusion, that reminds you of the coming voice of God. The coming voice of God. The final chapters of world history will not be written by politicians or controlled by some person pushing a button to create a world holocaust. There is a day coming, and surely it's coming soon, when the voice of God will be heard above the clamor of many other voices crying for our attention today. The Old and New Testaments assure us of God's ultimate victory over all the powers of the world. The prophet Joel says that this about the, says this about the return of the Lord in Joel 3 and verse 16. "The Lord shall roar from Zion and the thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble." In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul had a similar theme when he said, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." I tell you the truth when I say that those who have ignored God throughout life will hear the clear voice of God at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the scriptures teach us that even the dead will hear his voice. When he comes with a loud shout, it will be a call to bring his people home to be with him forevermore. And so as I close, I simply ask, what if? What if that coming voice was to be heard this very day? What if, and God forbid, that next Sunday your death was being announced here? What if? Won't you realize the urgency of these things? You see, if the Lord was to burst the clouds, the question is, would you go to be with him? Or would you be left behind? If you've heard the voice of God speaking to you, if you've heard him again calling you, then I urge you to respond to that voice today. Stop procrastinating. Stop putting it off to a more convenient season. Respond today and know the joy of sins forgiven. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and loving Father, we bow before you and acknowledge that you are the mighty God. You're the one who was able to speak this world into creation. That voice, that almighty, powerful voice, is the one that brings conviction, brings change, brings calmness. Oh, Father, we pray that today there will be those who will have not only heard your voice, but indeed be willing to obey that voice and respond to you. Father, we ask, whether that's your children, that you would help us to indeed listen carefully and to follow your instructions, or whether it's those who are still without you, that they indeed might be awakened of their sin and this day call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So may your voice, may your spirit speak on, for we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.